This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture's PlayStation podcast. With almost 40 years of playing PlayStation and almost 5 years combined in the games media, we thought we'd take off our hat and throw it into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join the PlayStation conversation, you can follow us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, Facebook, and all other social media platforms, because we are social media bitches.
Yeah, the two things we're sort of pushing at the moment is obviously the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist, where we have a lot of our key conversations, and that's where we also pull a lot of topics and stuff in for this show.
Look, there's a lot of info in that spiel. Everything you need to know will be in the description below.
That's correct. Oh, and the PlayStation 4 community too. We want to jump on here and have some game nights.
That's
and
more
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't have enough things to throw at the start. First of all, before we jump in this episode, we want to say thank you very much to the very warm response we received for episode 1.
Hell yeah.
Much, much better than I thought we were going to do.
Made my heart really, little fuzzy.
Really good.
You know, because our videos are touch and go, yeah? Some of them will get a couple of hundred views, some of them won't crack 50, and then some of them will get 3,500 to 10,000 views. It's all over the place. We're nearly at 350 now for episode 1, just on YouTube views.
The time of recording, yeah.
That's nice.
I'm really happy with that.
I love this, doing this show. Mm. I really enjoy it. So it's good to see it getting a good response.
Another thing we enjoy doing is playing games. So as we do with every episode, now in episode 2, what have you been playing this week?
One game. Which I can finally tick off my list.
I bet it's Persona.
It is Persona. Yeah, Persona 5. It's been, 6 weeks? Unemployed. And it still took me 6 weeks to finish this game. Mm. Done and dusted last night. We recorded some other shows last night. Did a stream.
Yep.
Went home. Another 2.5 hours. It was done. See, I left for the stream last night at the final boss. Like, literally saved right in front of him. I thought I'm going to get home and be done in like half an hour. No, because the boss kicked my fucking ass for 45 minutes before I finally kind of got it down. And it was really cool. It's a satisfying... The conclusion to the metaverse story is very cool and very visually satisfying.
Okay.
And then there's one more little wrench thrown in the air after that. And then the conclusion to the overall story is also very satisfying. And I'd say more of a happy ending than Persona 4 was.
Okay.
As well.
So how are you with it, though?
It was a good ending.
Yeah.
It didn't... See, the thing with Persona 4 is that the ending was... It was a bittersweet ending.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're happy it's over. You know, everyone was happy. But you still had to... I can't say much more. But it was a bittersweet ending. Whereas Persona 5 was... As I took it as a happy ending.
So, but having... Because I know Persona is known for its multiple endings.
Yeah.
So, which of... Have you investigated what the other endings are?
Not yet. I know... I think I read online that there's only three endings in this.
A good, bad, and the true ending.
There's two bads and a good.
Okay.
No true ending. I think the true ending was added in Persona 4 Golden.
Okay.
Which wasn't in the original on PS2. So, what Persona 5 does really well is that it actually... When you get to the decision-making process, it's going to start to determine what ending you're going to get. It's actually not in your face, but you know, okay, I really need to be careful with what I choose here. And it makes sense, choosing what you choose will take you to a certain ending. You know, you can either do this and you go, well, that's the bad option, so that's going to fuck me over for the bad ending, or this is a good option. And it lets you also, it also confirms with you once you hit that option, are you sure you can't change this answer? So you know when those decisions are there. So
you could save it before you make
You can
that
save
choice.
Before. You know when the decisions come and you know what ending they're going to lead to. Whereas Persona 4 didn't have any of that. You just hit the dialogue options. Even the ones you thought were morally right weren't the right to get one to get to the true ending. But you get no kind of hint like, this isn't going to kind of be the whole ending. You get none of it. So it was good to wrap it up in the proper ending and get on to New Game Plus.
Hey!
Not yet.
Are you going to do it all again?
Eventually. Oh, I'll do it for the platinum, for the trophy. But not just yet. I've got a couple other games I want to finish before that. What about you?
I've been spending a lot more time with Prey.
Mm-hmm.
After doing the stream here, it really scratched an itch.
Mm-hmm.
The way I've explained it throughout the week is it's if Half-Life and BioShock had a baby, and I loved that baby just as much as the parents. Like
that never happens.
That's it. Like, I'm like, this baby is amazing. Like, Prey is suspenseful. Mm-hmm. It's just fucking great. I you know how I always talk about it? Like, with us, we always play quite a few games, right? So, like, some I get interested in, and some I kind of like step away from.
Yeah.
But like, Prey has me. Like, I'm thinking about it. And
Which is strange, because Horizon didn't have that with you.
It didn't. It didn't.
Yeah.
But it did, and then Persona came out, and then Persona did that.
Yeah.
And which I still haven't gone back
Unfortunately, yeah, Persona is at least a 100-ish hour investment.
And knowing that is why I haven't really gone back into it. Yeah. But what's crazy about Prey is that you do have this sense that you're alone, right? Because you spend a lot of the time wandering around not seeing anyone. But you go to one of the little security computers. You can see the list of like hundreds of staff.
Yep.
And most of them are dead, but then there's the occasional one that's alive.
Oh, okay.
And it's like,
you're somewhere here. Like,
yeah, and they tell you, because you can track them. Like, everyone.
Oh, right. Okay.
Part of the Telos space station, everyone has like a little tracker by the looks.
Yeah, right.
So you can click that button and like, you can go find that person.
Okay.
I assume there's a trophy for maxing out the list.
See what they're doing, just hanging.
Yeah, because like, whenever I find a corpse, I'm like, hey, it's a corpse. And I look at it, it says its name and all that sort of stuff. Okay. So you can learn a lot about it.
Kind of humanizes all the dead bodies.
Yeah, and as you start going through computers and whatnot, you find a lot of email, right? And you sort of see these conversations. Some of them are just purely story based, but some of them are just sort of side conversations.
Banter.
Help build that world.
People bitching about other people and stuff. Because Horizon had a similar thing with the data logs. Some of them pushed the story, and other ones were just people just whinging about other people and saying, you know, this guy's a fuckhead. Then you find he's dying on that girl's bitch. It kind of goes back and forth. But yeah, it adds.
And there was one, it was like, okay, hey, you know that bowcaster you made? Do you reckon I can play with him? It'd be a lot of fun. It's essentially like a little dart gun. It's like, and just pops a little like foam darts.
Yeah.
I don't know. I found that. I thought it was great. But I've just got to a point where I can now leave the station and go out into space.
Yep.
Which, as you know, hurts me internally.
Mm-hmm.
At the games in first person.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you want to play it in theater mode on your VR?
No. No, I do not. Just playing it on the screen. When you come out and you look down and there's just nothing, I'm like,
that'll make a good video watching you do that.
Whew. It was great. Like, it's a lot of fun. The mimics are really, really cool. It's the gameplay, I hate using the term, but like, the mechanic of the mimics is great. It's interesting because like, you'll start to learn the patterns of what they do, but they'll always still get you like out of nowhere. Like, you walk into a room and you'll do every room you enter in, whether you've been there before or
do
not,
a quick little scan.
You'll walk in and you scan like, what's out of place in this room.
Yeah, okay.
And this is a lot about
the, like, if there's a computer chair, one computer, but there's another computer chair, it's like, that should be
exactly
there.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So you look in that room and that's essential, a credit to the environmental design of this game.
But then you
game.
Get the times, I'd imagine, where you go into a room and, you know, you're a little bit apprehensive because you're like, what's out of place? Nothing might be out of place, but the game's doing that to you.
Exactly.
You know,
like, there
you
are times
mindset.
Where the room is nothing.
Yep.
And sometimes it's super obvious. Like, I walked in a room, there's a vase in the middle of the hallway. I'm like, that's not a thing. Dunk! Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's been times where, as I've walked in the room, it's clearly spotted me, gone, and the became a chair, and the chair fell over.
Okay.
So I knew exactly what it was.
Yep. So you're taken by surprise, and they like just seize up and panic and just turn into something.
Yeah, but at the same time, there are these big phantom bosses where they're like, they don't give a shit. They don't mimic into nothing. They're just like, what's up? And they blow you up. Like, I die a lot in this game.
Good.
It's fun. Love it. Love it a lot.
Good. But as for games being played, that's it for me. I knew from when we recorded episode one of For the Players, I knew I was very, very close to the end. So I just put in the rest of my time this week into just ticking that box off. Because as much as I enjoyed that experience, I was kind of ready for it to be done and to move on to something else now.
What are some other things I've played this week? We did play Little Nightmares on a stream as well. Little Nightmares is very much a sort of side-scrolling platformer, very similar in the same vein to
Unravel.
It's almost like Unravel meets Inside and Limbo.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's really cool.
Seems really atmospheric.
Yeah, the atmospheric and the art style is what make it great. The storytelling, it's in the same vein of Limbo and Inside. You do have to interpret the story from what I've played. Now, we've not finished it. Like, I want to finish it on a stream.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a rough idea. There's not a lot of like, this is your character, this is what their motivations are, blah, blah, blah. So for you, it's just moving forward.
Yep.
And there's a lot. There's not a lot in terms of the storytelling of the world. Like Inside, for an example, which as I've mentioned before, I gave that game like a perfect score last year, is that it tells you, like it does tells you nothing, but in the way that you play the game, it tells you that, like it hints you what you think the story is, mm-hmm. right? With this, I'm not too sure what the story is. The creatures are kind of cool. One of the big selling points of it was that it's your childhood fears in a game. I'm yet to hit that yet. Like, I didn't have any jump scares or any sort of... anything that really got me scared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the atmosphere made me uneasy. Yep. Like, some of the characters were maybe uneasy, but certainly not scared.
I know it does have a very... because my son watched a stream all the way through with... who do you watch? Markiplier?
I like that guy.
I like him. He's got a great voice.
Oh, his voice.
He is the best voice. Anyway, he watched Markiplier play it through, and I caught maybe the last half an hour of the final episode, so I know where it goes. And it seems to be a very surprising, ambiguous ending.
Okay.
So it does seem to be worth finishing at some point.
Yeah, and on top of that, we did also spend some time with The Surge as well. That was last night at the time of recording, so it was Friday night.
That was on Xbox. We can't talk about
it. No, it's cross-platform, but we just happen to play it on Xbox.
Yeah.
It's essentially Dark Souls with exosuits in the future.
And robots.
Yeah. As we explained in the stream as well, like it plays okay. Yeah. It's not as fluid or as tight.
It's
not fluid as in you can't just, the combos don't tie to that well together.
What it was
and
missing.
It's not tight in terms of the Dark Souls controls.
Yeah, and what else, the other thing that was missing for us anyway was the atmosphere that From Software is so good at catching with those style of games.
Yeah, or even the same one that like Koei Tecmo did with Neo.
Yeah.
Like the environment of that game helped push that sort of mm-hmm. that style of gameplay.
And mind you, we were kind of stuck in the first area for a while. Yeah,
like,
we didn't get to see
like
much.
20 minutes.
But it was it just wasn't too much kind of happening to kind of push everything.
I do want
to
go back. It's one of those
definitely
like,
go back.
Those games always made me want to go back.
Yeah.
Whether I do is different because I'm the whole get good.
Yeah.
I'm not very good.
Yeah. And you don't get good.
Now speaking of good, do you want to do something this week?
As we move into the segment titled
Inform the Players.
There you go. We got to remember that.
Mm.
We're only new. Don't hate. We're trying our best.
The best. I'm like, my throat is a mess right now.
Yeah, you're
I'm
a
little bit sick. So if there are awkward pauses as I'm talking, it's me trying to fight that sweet throat pain.
You stopped a couple times now to just swallow whatever the fuck is in your mouth.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess up in here.
I can smell it from here.
Really?
No.
Oh.
First bit of news for the week. Sure. News, I say tentatively, as it is kind of a rumor.
It is a very quiet week this week.
It is a quiet week because we're heading into E3, obviously.
We're in the last month before E3, the last 4 or 5 weeks.
A lot of the big news is kind of being held back. But this is a rumor for now, but it does have some merit. Ever since Crash Bandicoot and Saints Trilogy was announced at PSX back in December, everyone just assumed the remaster would be a PlayStation exclusive. After all, the Crash games were always PlayStation titles, and Crash Bandicoot itself doubles as a mascot for Sony when mascots mattered. Now, what it seems to be happening is the collection may make its way to other platforms. What sparked this is a now-deleted tweet from PlayStation Ireland replying to a fan's question. In the tweet, which you can see a screenshot of on NeoGAF, PlayStation Ireland said the game is a PS4 exclusive. This is all in line with what had been announced to that point until recently, when the same Twitter account clarified the earlier comment in a new tweet saying that Insane Trilogy will come to PS4 and PS4 Pro first. This is made even more confusing by the fact that an Activision representative passingly mentioned a PC port last month during PAX East. Is it a console exclusive, a full exclusive, or a timed exclusive? Activision have yet to clarify. What do you think about Crash being seen on other platforms? Because I have two mindsets to this.
Mine comes at it from two ways, right? One, Crash has been on other platforms before. Ever since it hit the PS2, when it was no longer when it became an Activision property, that's when it just started going everywhere. Like, it was on Xbox, it was on PlayStation. So this is not brand new, right?
It was?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It was. I could be wrong. Want to check that?
Yeah, I'll check it while you're talking.
Fact check me. I'm pretty sure that, yeah, so like Spyro and Crash did cross platforms in the PS2 era. So to me, this isn't a surprise, but it will be a surprise if I'm wrong. However, because it isn't a Sony property anymore, it is an Activision property. Activision is smart. They're a business. They want to make money. right? So they want to make money wherever they can.
I'll just jump in. The Xbox 360 had The Wrath of Cortex, Crash of the Titans, and Crash Mind Over Mutant.
There we go.
Not the original. Damn, awesome. Not the original games, though.
Yes, no. Crash 1, 2, 3, and Cart were only ever on PlayStation. Well, yeah. So it makes sense from Activision, unless there is some sort of timed exclusivity. Like, that would be great. But at the same time, when people think about franchises, right, whether they want to or not, they will think of where that name came from, right?
It'll be normally wherever they played it first.
Yeah, like, to me, Crash will always be PlayStation. To me, Tomb Raider will always be PlayStation. To me,
Final Fantasy will always be PlayStation.
Yeah, Final Fantasy. To me, Metal Gear will always be PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are things that I, like, cause granted, you know, all of them at some point have been on other platforms, but to me, they're always PlayStation.
Yep.
And I think that'll be the only difference. I think even if they do the 12-month exclusivity deal, no one's going to give a dick after 12 months anyway. As in, like, anyone that wanted it will have got it, and any money that Activision make after that 12 months is just added change.
See, I agree with you on all of that, but my perspective as a fan, like, get your fucking hands off my Crash. You know what I mean? Like, there's something a little bit, to me anyway, as a fan, a little bit dirty about, you know, what used to be an exclusive being eventually spread onto other platforms. Like, it's just, I get it from the business sense, but as a fan, it's like, no. But then it's also, well, then more people get to experience this fantastic game.
Yeah, and that's where my come from. It's like, by having on other platforms, in no way does it take away its power on PlayStation.
Not at all.
And that's the thing. Like, for me, I'm like,
it's just my bitter fanboy mindset.
I'm really cynical most times, but right now with this, I'm like, nah, it's fine. Like, it if they were like, hey, because it's on Xbox, Ryan, you cannot play it. I'm like, well, that's a bit shit.
But you have an Xbox.
Well, no, but the point I'm making is, like, that's the only way that would affect me. If it's like, hey, it's on PS4 and Xbox One, I'm like, sweet, I'm going to pick up on PS4, but sweet.
Yeah.
More people can love it.
Time will tell. It'll be
love for everyone.
Interesting developments.
Hugs all around.
Coming. Number two, Square Enix. Not PlayStation news, but it is interesting to talk about because of its fucking slow news this week. Square Enix has declared its decision to withdraw from Danish developer IO Interactive. The company made the announcement alongside its financial results for fiscal year that ended March 31st, 2017. In a quote, "To maximize player satisfaction as well as market potential going forward, we are focusing our resources and energies on key franchises and studios," Square Enix said in its statement. Continuing, "As a result, the company has regrettably decided to withdraw from the business of IO Interactive, a wholly owned subsidiary and a Danish corporation as of March 31st, 2017. IO Interactive, the developer of Hitman and Kane and Lynch, found itself in the Square Enix stable back in 2009 when the Japanese publisher acquired IO's parent company, Eidos Interactive. What the news means for the future of the studio itself and Hitman series is unclear. Last year, Hitman Season 1 left the current story in limbo, and as of August last year, IO Interactive was planning for 3 seasons of the episodic game. IO Interactive has been focused entirely on the Hitman series since 2013, when the studio laid off half its staff and cancelled all non-Hitman projects and initiatives. Word of the split comes alongside news that Square Enix has otherwise enjoyed, quote, record high net sales, operating income, ordinary income, and profit attributable to owners of parent for the fiscal year," whatever that fuck that last one means. It's all, I understand, because Square's having a great time recently. Overall, Square's just like rolling in it more than they have for a few years, and Hitman has just lost its appeal. And if you own a studio, no one fucking talks about it. Like, you don't see it in the news. You don't see people gushing about it. It's there.
It
exists. I've never heard you speak about Hitman in my life.
Because I've never played it. Like, I have. No, but as in, like, I hear people talk about it.
Oh, I don't at all.
Like, with the whole, like, not since the season ended, of course, like, with the latest game, like, people really enjoyed the Hitman season.
I'm not saying they don't have a fan.
And, like, there is a fan base there. And, by lid, it doesn't, like, I would like to know the reason behind this business decision. I don't know what it can be. And, like, because Hitman does make money. Not a lot of money, comparatively. But I can't see the justification of doing that.
Maybe it didn't make much. Like, maybe it didn't make enough. You know, Square will be looking at all their all their subsidiaries and going bang, 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 bang. They're all up here, but then IO's sitting a few peaks down. It's like, well, do we even need them anymore? Probably not. And that sucks for IO because they do good stuff. So this doesn't seem to be the end of the studio. Just at the moment, they are without direction. But they haven't announced that they're disbanding or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, just because so essentially, sorry, I'm just still choking on shit in my throat.
Get it out. Get it down.
So, what my question is now, is Hitman therefore technically a property of Eidos and IO, therefore it can't be continued? Or can they take it with them? Because if they can take it with them, someone will pick them up.
Yeah, yeah.
Without a doubt, someone will pick up IO and they'll continue the Hitman.
And you know who it'll be?
No idea.
Sony. Actually, I could picture them more as a Microsoft line.
I think it would be interesting. I think Microsoft needing more exclusives, as we talked about, like, it would make sense to
be Hitman would be a good one to pull over. Be a good one to pull over. Number
it
three.
People would be butthurt about it if it came exclusive.
Oh, of course, but. Yeah. But do you want the company to still exist or not?
Yeah.
You know, that's what it comes down to. Number three, Parappa the Rapper creator Masuya Matsura and Keiichi Yano of Gitaru Man and the Uendan, sorry, there's a lot of weird words in there, are teaming up for a new story-driven rhythm adventure. Remember when rhythm games had stories? These two do. Ryan, do you remember?
Not really.
Parappa the Rapper.
I never played Parappa.
Oh, fuck. Why did I put this news in then?
I never played because, like, well, once again, it came out when I was on PS, when PS1. When it was PS1 time, I had a lot less money. I wasn't able to buy as many games as I do now.
Well, we have little information about what's now being called Project Rap Rabbit, just a teaser website via Gematsu. Rabbit! And trailer. The simple fact that Matsura and Yano and their respective studios, Nana Onsha and Innis, are working together is wonderful news for the rhythm game fans. In a day when most games in the genre aren't much more than a song list to tap along to, we could really use some of that Parappa Elite Beat Agents magic.
Well, I don't appreciate that stab on Rock Band right there. Fuck them for that statement alone.
No, I don't think that's what they were referring to. Just the other rhythm games out there. What's the VR one? What's the VR one that we played?
Res Infinite.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, it's Res.
I love rhythm games.
Oh, dude.
Not talking about Rock Band, but what's the DS one, the Final Fantasy one, where you're battling, but you're tapping buttons along to, like, the old Final Fantasy tracks, and if you hit the right notes, they do their attacks and stuff.
Okay.
Love it. Fucking love it. So I'm keen.
So I did jump in and try the demo for the Prap of the Rapper, 20th anniversary, whatever the hell.
Oh, yeah.
Only because I was sort of curious on what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It plays not very well.
You mean it just hasn't aged
well? It hasn't aged well. Okay. So I'd be curious to see where these guys go with making a new one. I think that would be very, very interesting to see.
Yep.
I do like that genre. I like the genre a lot. It's like, out of all the genres I love the most, like, Rock Band is pretty much up there. Like, I spent thousands and thousands of dollars in that game.
Music games.
Oh, I love that
rhythm
game.
Yeah.
In terms of a story, I'm curious to see what it is.
You have to wait and see. This is promising to me.
It's piqued my interest.
Because these two are, you know, the pioneers of the rhythm gaming genre with the, you know, the stories they bring as well. So it's good. It's good. It's all good. You know, this is good.
What?
Horizon got a patch.
Oh,
this is, that we talked about last week. We're following up because the details of said patch are now available. Announced last week, Horizon Zero Dawn update 1.20 is now available to download on PlayStation 4, reportedly about 250 meg. With 1.20, you'll find several improvements to photo mode, new custom HUD options, filters, and a legend added to the in-game map. And in the quest map, bug fixes, and much more. I just want to talk about the improved photo modes, because they've added in some new poses for Aloy. She does the anime, like, waifu, haha, like the peace sign.
Which predicted last week.
That's the love heart.
Which we also predicted last week.
And a couple others.
Did we get a metal hands?
I don't think we got metal hands.
Boo!
That would
have been amazing. Like, the whole game's structured around metals. Metal!
Or, like, a head spin.
Yeah, that'd be rad.
They added some facial expressions for her as well.
Is it metal face?
Really angry. added in look at the camera mode. So she looks at the camera. And, like, greeting card to make it like a card
kind
of thing. And also heaps of quality of life stuff, especially for the map. You know how cluttered the map looks?
Map's a mess.
You can now filter things on and off. So yay! If you're focusing on one thing, and there's heaps of other stuff in there, it's actually a really solid patch.
Nice.
So props to Guerrilla Games for continuing to do
cool things. I need to go back to that game so bad.
No, you won't.
I won't.
Fifth and second last bit of news for the week. Just letting you guys know, Sony's latest flash sale has begun on the PlayStation Store, bringing deals for all of their platforms. On PS4, you can get Doom for just $20, or XCOM 2 and No Man's Sky $24 each. Mirror's Edge, Catalyst, and Axiom Verge, with support for Vita Crossbuy, dropped to $10 each, while Assault Android Cactus is $4.49.
Yeah, okay.
Risk of Rain, Vita Crossbuy, only $3.49, and also to coincide with the movie release, the week that we're recording this, Alien Isolation for $17. And there's heaps more. There's like fucking 100 titles.
You just grabbed a couple.
Just grabbed the key ones that I thought out of there. Alien Isolation I am tempted to pick up because I hear that it is really, really good.
Yeah, like our buddy Tom at Load Screen loved it.
Yeah.
There are some things about the game that's a bit of a problem though. Mm-hmm. Is like, although when you're battling the Xenomorphs and it's just getting all up in your shit, like that's when it's its best. But then there are moments where it's kind of like, you're fighting all these synths and they seem to be unstoppable for some reason. And the game's a bit too long in the tooth.
What I heard about it that piqued my interest the most is that Alien kind of seems to learn.
Yeah.
So if it, let's say you're hiding under a, let's say you run from it, you get into a room and you hide under a table. It comes in the room, it looks around for a while, it eventually finds you under the table. You die, you restart. You go back into that room, you hide somewhere else, he'll come into the room and the first thing he'll do is check under the table because that's where he found you last. So it keeps you thinking on your feet. I can't hide in the same two places and I need to adjust on the fly what I'm doing. So that, because you know, horror games, you know, like Outlast, I'll just get under the bed and they will never find me.
Yeah.
Whereas this, from what I've read, the alien seems to kind of learn as the game goes on what you like to do to hide and it will adapt to that, which makes it even scarier.
Oh, there are some other bigger games that are part of this May sale as well. Now, obviously, they're not as cheap as those ones, but like correct. Nier Automata is on there as well, which sort of got me tickled.
Yeah, I am going to get that. I want to get through the Darksiders collection first. Mm-hmm. Now that Persona's gone,
which I also purchased.
I've got the Bioshock collection to get through.
Oh damn!
And then I'm free to either get Nier or start Persona New Game Plus. I don't know yet.
But they're the games that are cheap. What's the next bit of news?
Next and final bit of news. The top 10 PS4 games for the week ending the 7th of May 2017 are out.
Starting from number 10?
Starting from number 10, Rainbow Six Siege.
Yep.
Props to Ubisoft for managing to keep it in there. Number 9, still hanging in there somehow, GTA 5.
I have no idea how that works.
I don't know how. Can't everyone that owns it by now? Like, Jesus. It's like
18 million or something. At Warworld.
Number 8, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Not surprised. Number 7, this makes me happy, Little Nightmares.
It was number 2 last week, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think so.
It's still in there two weeks in a row. That's really good for an indie game. Number 6, Sniper Ghost Warriors 3.
Yep.
Number 5, Persona 5. Yes. Number 4, Ghost Recon Wildlands, still up there. Number 3, Horizon. Number 2, Prey.
Nice.
Now, Ryan, with all those big games, what on earth could have beaten all of them quality, including first party Activision titles? I'll let you read it out.
Look, the answer is, in an Australian top 10 list of MPDs, right? Who would have thunk that AFL Evolution was the highest selling PS4 game in Australia? It makes perfect sense,
It does make perfect sense, but it's still just, it's like you look at the
caliber of
you
games.
Look at the caliber of the games. You got Atlas, you got Activision, you got Rockstar, you got Bethesda. Got
two Ubisoft games.
AFL Evolution, ladies and gentlemen.
See, that to me, that makes me so happy.
It does make me happy.
Only because, as I said in the, like we discussed in the stream as well, I want to see this game do well because that means they'll make a new and better one next time.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they can, if when it comes to getting more money for it, they can go to an investor and be like, "We were number one the week we came out."
Yeah.
So imagine what you could do if help make us a
better
game.
It'll still be in there for another 2 weeks.
It'll
obviously be dropping down, but yeah. I think it'll hang in there for a while.
Awesome. So good news.
It's weird. It's got to be one of the upsets of the year. Not that it's a competition, but
it is.
Well, I guess.
It's the number one.
What's the studio that made that game?
Wicked Witch and True Blue Games.
I don't know who they are, but props.
Because technically that game is an indie game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's an indie game out of
charging AAA price.
Yeah.
But props to you guys. If you happen to see this, well done. I know you had a great time with it on the stream with our buddy Craig.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Had a really
reviews
good time.
Are not coming in so well, but as I said, like for what we did with it, I had a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you did.
So now the news is all out of the way, we can head into the big chunk of our show this
Which
week.
Which still doesn't have a title.
So Joel, our buddy Joel, threw a couple of names in my mind, didn't like any of them.
thank you, Joel.
So we're still looking, we're still trying to think of a name for the main topic of conversation for the show. Mm-hmm. Now, this
Hypothesize
week...
Hypothesize for the players. I'm just spitballing. Mm. Never mind.
We'll work on it. Mm. So one thing that gets talked about almost all the time by any PlayStation fan, when it comes to any conference time, whether it be PSX, whether it be GDC, whether it be E3, they're always like, what if
Where's
Sony...
Where's the VR support?
No, apart from that. Oh. What if Sony was to announce the Vita 2? So, what I want to talk about is I want to discuss the potential of a Vita 2.
Mm-hmm.
What and what do we think it would be, look like? What do we want it to be?
Okay.
Go from there.
Sony are just crazy enough to do it too. Crazy motherfuckers. So, look, obviously, you'd be silly not to think that Sony isn't keeping a close eye on the Switch.
Yeah, and that came from a question from Dave as well.
Yeah.
One of our lovely viewers and listeners, Dave, he did say, are Sony keeping an eye on the Switch? And the answer is by far yes.
Oh, absolutely. Even Microsoft will be keeping an eye
Everyone
on
it.
Everyone
will be monitoring the Switch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the same boat. Because they, by Sony stopping working on the Vita, right?
Yeah.
It essentially opened up the handheld market to solely Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. They just gave it up. They're like, you know what? Have it.
Yeah, and I think that is a very dangerous thing. But at the same time, Nintendo were at such a lead, they would have never caught up anyway.
But also at the same time, Nintendo aren't smart enough to give themselves full monopoly of it either.
Yeah, and they're not smart like right now, right? Like they're not smart enough to make a solid decision around what the Switch
They're dropping left, right,
is.
And center. They've got the market to themselves, but they still haven't figured out what to do with
it. Yeah, and I think that's exactly why Sony could and should jump back in.
It's time to swoop back in.
Like, so with Nintendo being as vague as they possibly can be about the Switch, like, no, it's a console that's handheld. Mm. But, okay, then what? You know, then it's like, no, it's not a handheld, it's a console. Like, they're really unsure on where the Switch sits because they won't stick to their guns. They won't be like, hey, it's a handheld, so you can don't worry about the DS anymore.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, it's a console, so keep an eye on it. Don't go to your DS just yet.
Mm.
Which is dumb and very dangerous. So I think by PlayStation going, look, we have a console. We don't need another console. Here is a handheld device that rocks.
Okay, let's just spitball. Okay, I would love to see a little larger than the current Vita in screen size.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about being able to take off the controls on the side. That doesn't have to happen. How I would like to see it operate in terms of with the PS4 is, again, have a dock, whether like a Switch dock or whatever, where you just pop the Vita into the dock, syncs with the PS4, and you just use your DualShock 4 when you're at home. Don't need detachable controllers and peripherals and all that. You've already got a PS4, you've already got a DualShock controller. If you want to play it on the TV, just plug the Vita into the dock and play it with the fucking controller.
Yeah, I certainly agree that, like, the whole docking and undocking thing is important.
Yeah.
But that at the same time, is that puts you in that weird conflict. As long as Sony were to come out and be like, hey, this is the handheld. My only concern is, the docking thing is really cool as an idea, but then it's like, well, why would I do that when I have my PS4? My PS4 plays bigger and stronger games on my TV.
That's true too.
So, like, I think they'd have to commit to it being a sweet handheld.
But now are you talking complete cross-library?
In the way it's possible.
Because that's the way the Switch is, yeah. The benefit is that, you know, it is a handheld and console, but it's just one store.
Yeah.
And you get everything from the one place. So is that kind of what your mindset is? Because that obviously that comes with its own difficulties of power.
Yeah.
Because the reason the Switch can do what it does is because the Switch is not as powerful, anywhere near as powerful as the other two big consoles. Whereas the PlayStation is, especially with the Pro now as well, very powerful. So to make a handheld capable of playing those games, even at a lower resolution, I don't think it'd be cheap.
No, I see. With the Switch, it's too many hands in too many baskets, right?
Mm.
So they're like, this is a sweet fucking console. This is a sweet handheld thing. That's what it is. There's no concern of, hey, you can play PS4 games on your Vita. Like, that shouldn't be the priority. Because, like, think about it, right? What are the games that you play on your Vita right now? They are games that you wouldn't play on your PS4. Mm. Like, you don't want big 40, 60-hour games on a portable console. Something you can jump in, jump out, sort of thing. What?
Persona says differently.
Yeah, but, like that's a one game. It's literally one game.
Yeah, and the best fucking game I've ever
played. But then the point is, it's one fucking game.
I
like,
get what you're saying.
Like, as in, outside of Zelda, right? The Switch is in the same boat.
Yeah.
Like, but the problem is, I imagine majority of people played Zelda, like, docked, right?
Yeah.
Like, when I play my Vita, I play it in short bursts. I play a lot of games I can jump in, jump out, because a lot of time I'm traveling. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much what it is. So by not trying to funnel big experiences on it, I think they could do something a little bit better. In the same thing, that means the studios will have to create their own sort of unique games for it, which is damaging, right?
Which, on that same vein as well, is they're already having trouble getting their first party studios to do anything for VR, the VR set right now. So it's going to be spread even thinner.
Yeah.
Do we get fucking them doing VR and PlayStation, or do they do PlayStation and the new Vita, or do they just do I think that is spreading themselves too thin at the same time.
It'll need to be more powerful. It needs to be powerful enough to run, like, get PS2 classics on there as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you got your PS1, your PS2 classics.
That's what my Vita
is
classic games.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I think they greatly, greatly need to improve the remote play function.
Oh, yeah.
Because I sit on my couch and my PS4 is like 4 meters away and it has the worst time.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you're going to do remote play, you also need proper triggers at the top.
Yeah, it needs the double triggers.
And it needs L3 and R3.
Yeah.
Clicking the joysticks, not the bottom touchpad at the back. That just makes me so mad.
That's the other benefit to the Switch, right? The Switch shows that people don't mind a bigger handheld.
No, not at all.
Like, playing on the Vita, playing my 3DS XL even, my hands are too big. I'm cramped. It's not fun. So I don't play it for long hours. Where the Switch isn't big enough for me to want to play it more because it's easier on my hands.
Yeah. But also, the thing with the Switch too, though, is that it is very much a nindie machine, as the coin has been termed.
Mm.
The term has been coined. So the Switch is pulling in a lot of indie devs where, you know, if Sony was going to do the same thing, it's going to be like majority the exact same library as the Switch.
That's fine.
But I don't see Sony wanting to spread their studios any thinner than they already are.
I agree with that too. So that's the biggest problem. So from a tech perspective, it's really easy to say, yeah, make a new Vita, it'll be great. But it's like, as you said, who's going to back it? And that's the biggest concern.
How about this? If we're just spitballing, just whatever we'd want to see out of it, you've got the Vita 2, or V Roman numeral 2, TA as you like to call it, where the entire library is PS1, every PS1, PS2, PS3 game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the library for the handheld.
That'd be phenomenal.
That would be fucking amazing. You get Red Dead on the go, all these games I want to catch up on, I can play on the handheld, and your nindies as well. Where, I don't know, this might be dangerous, but segregate it from the PS4. No, it doesn't play PS4 games. It's not powerful enough to play PS4 games.
Everyone that's like, oh, I want console experiences on the go. Like, no, you don't. Like, you really don't.
You can. Like, you know, people do, and Zelda proves that, but there's a line. So I think if Sony did a Vita 2 and they just went, look, it's as powerful as, just a bit more powerful than the PS3, it's between the PS3 and PS4, it's priced at the same price as the Switch, maybe a bit cheaper, and you've got our entire classic library. No PS4 games. You've got all the indies that are currently out on the PlayStation 4 store, and every PS1, PS2, PS3 game has been recoded or whatever to play on this handheld. That would be amazing.
Yeah, what would even better if rather than having PlayStation Plus, maybe it integrates PlayStation Now, but in a different way, taking in, rather than streaming the way it does now, take in the Xbox Gamer Pass route, right? Where you can just download them to your little Vita.
Yeah, and as long as you pay the subscription,
you pay that $10 a month, and you can just you can download that PS3 to your Vita.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be better. Like, granted, obviously sometimes they're going to drop in and drop out, and that's fine. So that takes away the proprietary store. Well, proprietary storage will still be a thing, but it's like,
just give you options.
Yeah, it's
Say it.
It's tough because for me, because I'm trying to think of it from a business idea, right? I'm like, why would this be a reliable and desirable investment for Sony?
Well, it could be their answer to not having backwards compatibility on the PS4.
Yeah,
that could be their response first. You know. Yes, we're not putting backwards compatibility on the PS4 ever. It's not going to happen. If you want it, here is the Vita 2, and that's exactly what it does.
Yeah. Because we don't need to put it in the box. Yeah. So you take it.
Maybe make a way that.
And then that's when the docking would be handy, right?
If you plug the USB from the Vita into the PlayStation, pop in a PS3 disc, you can just download it straight to your Vita. Oh,
that'd
too.
Be beautiful. That would never happen.
That's what Xbox is doing with their backwards compatibility. Yeah, yeah. But that's that could be their answer too.
But if you did want to play your what was on there on the screen, right?
Still have remote play.
Yeah, no, you could plug the Vita 2 into your PS4, open up an app, and it runs off the Vita.
Have the
that
dock.
Would so that'd be better than a dock, right? They'd be integrating the whole ecosystem in one go. Mm-hmm. Plug, play games.
Yeah, or whether the Vita 2, the dock, or the cable is plugged into the USB on the PS4.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, full circle.
Yeah. So as in like, that was all the same ecosystem. You plugged
it. Vita, but it's all Vita automatic too. If you put it in the dock, you don't have to open it up on the PS4. It just recognizes that's plugged in. That must be what you want to do. And it does what it has.
I'll disagree with that because what if you're charging it? You don't want it to be like, oh, you're like, oh, fuck.
I don't know if I want to be a charger.
Yeah, plug it in and it goes, hey, did you want to play
Vita? Oh, yeah, with Vita? A prompt. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, we've noticed you've plugged in your Vita 2. Is that what you want to play right now? You go, yep.
You go, yep. And then it opens controller. That app and then it reassigns the DualShock to the whatever and you play it just fine. Like, that would be beautiful. In terms of how that's actually doable, I have no idea.
So to summarize all of this, what I want.
Yeah.
What I've discovered that I want through this conversation is L3 and R3, L2 and R2 buttons, not touchpad, slightly bigger screen, a dock, and it be their backwards compatibility machine.
Yeah.
Just that. Like, that's what I would be happy with. I wouldn't expect new titles, except for the indies that come over that can run on it. I wouldn't expect new titles. Mm. Let me have your whole back catalogue from last gen back, and I'm a fucking happy camper.
See, I think the key word there is there's no expectation of big games coming to it. I think the biggest problem with the Vita is the expectations that Sony themselves put on it when they first released it.
Oh, for sure.
They're like, this is going to do this, this, and this. We're like, woo! And they're like, but we're not supporting it.
It's like, hey, Naughty Dog, can you make an Uncharted for the Vita?
Like, but we're nope, trying make somebody to make, else
we're do it. Trying to make Uncharted 2 with your console that has like 30 million units out right now. And you want us to do this for the new thing?
Like,
yeah!
Like, okay, no. Sony Bend, can you make us an Uncharted game?
I just picture Naughty Dog as being like Naughty Dog to me, just picturing each PlayStation first party company as a person. And Naughty Dog is the employee that's been there longer than the boss has and is fully capable and happy to tell the boss to fuck off. I'm picturing Sony going to Naughty Dog, hey, can you do this? And Neil Druckmann just going, no! Fuck out of my office. Okay, and so just hanging their head and walking away.
There are a lot of things that we agree on, right? I think it does need a bigger screen. It's be a bit, you know, a bit of a bigger design. It does need the additional triggers as well as the joystick buttons. That's fine. They're a given. I think some sort of integration into the ecosystem would be its best, because you know there are backwards compatibility. As I said in last week's episode, on paper, fucking awesome. No one ever really does it because they're always too excited over here.
With the new stuff.
And that's fine. So if they rather than saying, hey, there will be, like, we could say there's new games coming to the Vita 2. They won't be big games. We're not forcing anyone to make games.
It'll just be the indies.
If they want to.
Yeah.
If any studio wants to make a game for it, we'll...
Off their own back.
Not
with our backing.
No. If someone came to them and was like, we want to make a game for the Vita, they'd be like, okay, what do you need? But rather than being like, you have to make this game.
Yeah.
Because that was like, they talk about Guerrilla Cambridge, right?
Yeah.
Like the last two things they worked on was Killzone Mercenaries for the Vita and then Rigs on VR. Two games didn't do so well because they were told to do it.
Yeah, it wasn't a passion project for them.
Yeah, so like someone like Drinkbox, right? Drinkbox made the decision to only make Vita games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome because they're like, we know people will buy these games. We're not selling a lot, we know there's people that will buy these games.
There's no competition.
And I think that's the best thing about it, right? So if they were like, if you want to make them, you're more than welcome to. We're not going to force anybody to make them. We're not going to create the expectation that people will do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is the option is there. And until then, play all the indie games that are ever available. Play, you know, that ever want to come over here. And then backwards compatibility is something we're making work.
Maybe, open a small team, a new studio, a small studio that's just there to get all those old games working on this hardware.
Yeah.
That's all they got to do.
Like I said, that would, that I don't see them justifying that expense.
But they want
it. But I would love, I would love to see that.
I want them to.
I think that would be amazing.
See, at this point now, if the Vita 2 is ever announced anything less than that, having full backwards compatibility for the back catalogue, I'll be instantly disappointed.
What was it, sorry?
What are you looking at?
I'm pulling up the questions for the next section.
If the Vita 2 ever does come out and it doesn't have that backwards compatibility that we talked about, I'll be instantly disappointed.
Yeah, because
regardless of what else there is, I'll be instantly like, you're doing it wrong. This isn't what you should be. What are you doing, Sony?
We're watch this video.
Yeah.
Well, that's our Vita 2 thoughts out of the way. Of course, you guys can join the conversation as well. Comment below. Let us know what you think of all the socials, etc., everything as well. Come and join the chat about what you think your Vita 2 needs. Are we wrong? Of course, we're probably wrong.
Of course we are.
This is where we move into our next segment.
Mm-hmm.
Which is called From the Players, where you lovely viewers and listeners let us know what you want us to talk about.
Join the conversation.
Ask us some questions.
Direct the conversation.
Direct the conversations.
And that is a title, a segment title that actually works.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So our good friend Jono says, which PS4 games would you want to see on the Vita? And I think that continues from the conversation, as we don't want to see PS4 games on the Vita.
No, but if they were going to come, I'd be happy.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Because like for him it was Stardew Valley, right? But Stardew Valley is a game that's not, I wouldn't, it is a PS4 game, but it's more, it's not as powerful as a PS4. It's not like I want Prey. Like, no.
Are we talking within the realms of possibility that the Vita could run it?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
Or at least even if it's marginally scaled down.
I don't think it's a stretch that Persona 5 would run on the Vita.
I think it would run just fine.
Because I think it's on PS3 in Japan as well. Yeah, see, that was the biggest thing I had with Persona 5, is that I really... Because I just played Persona 4 for 80 hours on the Vita. I wanted to continue playing it on the Vita. I would have loved to have Persona 5 on the Vita, because I couldn't play Persona 5 when I had my kids over, because they had the TV, because, you know, we're playing games and doing the things. So I couldn't play it. And it was frustrating.
My only reason I won't play
it. My goddamn TV, because they use PlayStation.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, dang. Definitely that style of game. Just I don't want shooters on the Vita.
Yeah, shooters are tough to...
Screen's too small.
Yeah.
I don't want the big games, like open world games like The Witcher. No. I can't even play it on the PS4 because it hurts to think about how big that game is. games like JRPGs, like my Vita is an old school JRPG machine. Like it's all the Final Fantasies and all of that, Chrono Trigger and all that stuff. So yeah, more Persona.
I'm in the same boat. As in, I don't think it needs it.
You just want your farming simulators.
Speaking of the next question.
Oh, okay.
So Paul asked the very important question, what are the odds of a new Harvest Moon game coming to the PS4.
Oh, a new Harvest Moon game. Well, maybe that's why they've just re-released all the old ones.
The answer is actually zero.
What?
I think it's almost incredibly unlikely.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
because
you're the man for these kind of games. What is the difference between, say, Harvest Moon and Stardew Valley?
Not a lot. Stardew Valley plays very differently. It certainly takes on everything that Harvest Moon has done right in the past and sort of built on it in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also very, you know, the 2D plane. Where Harvest Moon, since, yes, the PS1, have sort of done a bit of three-dimensional shit, right?
Okay.
Now, since the PS2, almost all Harvest Moon games have been coming on Nintendo platforms. I guess because of Japanese. So Natsume, who were originally the creators of Harvest Moon, the key creator has left and since joined Marvelous, I think. So any Harvest Moon that's come out the last couple of years hasn't been created by like the OG man. You know, that guy went off to Marvelous to go make Story of Seasons.
Okay.
So that's when Story of Seasons came out on the Vita. I was like, oh, it's OG Harvest Moon, peeps.
Yep.
Get it.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. There's a sequel. The second one that came out, Story of Seasons, Trio of Towns. It's not available in Australia yet. I'm trying to find a way to import that bad boy. It's very unlikely. I do like that the PS1 and the PS2 classics are available on... Well, the PS2 classics are available on the PS4. That's awesome.
Not on Vita?
No, the PS1... And the PS1 and the PSP1 are available on the Vita.
You could remote play the Vita.
Yeah.
If remote play actually works. Or is it not... Like, is it just not made to work on the Vita? Like, is the screen too small and you can't see what's going on, or...?
The fuck are you talking about? You've lost me completely.
Remote play.
Yeah.
Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
To your Vita.
Oh, yeah, the PS2 classics and stuff. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. So I'm like, why am I talking about my Vita for? Like, I'm talking about the PS4 here. So you lost me. I'm back.
I'm back? Okay.
Yeah, maybe these cold and flu tablets have fucked me a little more than I thought.
Good to have you back, Ryan.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan, for joining the conversation.
That was exactly when my brain went, and I'm like, what?
Where am I?
Feel like I've missed a bit.
Why are the lights on?
Okay. So yeah, it's very unlikely, simply because of by the looks of it, the deals that Natsume and I guess Marvelous now have with Nintendo. Because I know Marvelous is working with the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
I think the closest we're going to get is like Stardew Valley, like a Harvest Moon-esque game. We'll never get a Harvest Moon game by name on PlayStation.
Okay, that's a shame.
It is a shame. But when my phone wants to unlock on me, there we go. Next question. Oh, missed the button. Hang on, you're talking amongst yourselves.
These tablets are fucking destroying you right now.
I'm a little fucked. Yeah. I thought I was fine.
Lucky we're towards the end of the show.
I thought I was fine. And then as I'm sitting in here longer, everything's like,
it's because of the heat in this room from our lights.
Like, I do feel like crazy lightheaded right now.
Because you're like, hey, I got new globes for our lights. They're white. Sweet. You didn't tell me they were 4,000 watts.
I didn't know that.
It's like too many suns pointing at our face. I am actually getting a little spacey right now. It's weird. It's cool. We're nearly there.
We're almost done.
Not that I want the show to finish, because I enjoy doing it.
What's the next question we've got here? So, Dave asked the question, what should Sony's next exclusive IP genre be?
Okay, so we've got, did we say first party or just exclusive?
Exclusive.
So we've got your RPG with Persona. We've got open world with Horizon. We've got every other genre in Nia, apparently, because it just does every genre. Mm. I want to see a first-person shooter. A story-driven, 20-25-hour first-person shooter.
Mm.
Not like your Destinies and not like all of that. Not like Call of Duty. Just, yeah, not like COD at all. But just a really engrossing FPS. Because they've nailed all the other big genres at the moment.
I agree. And to the strength of PlayStation... and now I know this is an opinion that's been like agreed upon a bunch of other places, is their, to their credit, their exclusives are incredibly vast in terms of genre.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Right? So like where you can go from JRPG to an open world game to this to that, like everything is somewhat covered. But when you think about Xbox, right, as an example, like when you think of their key franchises, what are you looking at? You're looking at shooters.
Third person,
third person
shooter with the Halo Wars.
Halo. To credit to Halo Wars, as far as I think, there's no RTS exclusive for PlayStation. Mm. You get third person shooter with Halo. With Gears of War. First person shooter with Halo.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, what else has been out recently?
Quantum Break.
Then there was Recore. Recore was a third person shooter as well. Quantum Break, third person shooter. Interesting.
With RPG elements. Was it?
Yeah, a little bit of RPG-ness in there. But like, they all seem very similar.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But then in the same boat, then you've got games like Cuphead, which is completely different. And Sea of Thieves coming out later this year, I assume. Mm. Like, there are things that do break that rule, but...
The difference being, and this just isn't me speaking as a fanboy, but Sony's a quality as well. Like, they're all over 85 in terms of scoring. It's fucking ridiculous how polished and well-received their games are, whereas Quantum Break was a meh... Gears was meh, Halo was meh. You know, you had your diehard fans of old. The big difference, sure.
Like with Gears and Halo, right? These were franchises that are getting long in the tooth. That's why they were given the meh. Mm-hmm. Like Quantum Break was brand new, it was great, but it was mixed with what it was trying to do. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of being a TV show and being a game sort of muddled its messaging, that made it very difficult for people, and people were concerned about picking it up. You know, like to their credit, those games were fine. They're not bad.
For sure, they're fine. They're good games.
You know, but in terms of the breadth of genres that like Sony covers, is just but
FPS doesn't come to mind for a big like current gen. First-party title.
Currently, there's not much. Like, in my head, I'm thinking Killzone, right? But Killzone came out at the start of this generation. They've been quiet since.
Too far gone. The landscape of PlayStation has changed since the start of the generation. You know, when Killzone Shadowfall was out, we may as well have a new console at this point.
Yeah.
So, with you look at your games of Horizon and Nier and Persona and Neo, I would love to see an FPS. Big first party FPS. Not even first party, exclusive FPS.
Speaking of big games that are coming to the PlayStation, that when we move into...
Not all of them are big, Ryan.
Well, hey, we move into the drop, or as we like to call it here, coming to the players. I know it's sexually charged.
I thought you said before the show we're going to call it coming on the players.
Oh, wow.
That's not even what you said.
That's even more sexually charged.
Hey, it's our show. We can be sexually charged.
In this week's segment of coming to the players, what games are hitting those stores?
So we're changing up the format a little bit. There are 17 games coming.
Because we do find that the drop, reading the drop, you know, reading the title, the description, everything.
It's important
about,
to know.
It's important to know what games are coming out, but we feel this segment drags like painfully, right? So we're going to skim through the names and when they come out and what they're coming on, and then we'll go back the ones that interest us.
Yeah, well. So, in other words, I'm not reading the description for every single game because no one cares about a lot of these things. Starting us off, like every week, ACA Neo Geo Over Top, PS4 Digital.
Car racing game.
Akiba's Beat, PS4, PS3 Vita, Digital and Retail.
PS3 Vita.
PS Vita, Digital Retail. Looks to be some kind of JRPG.
Yep.
Baila Latino, PS4 Digital. Seems to be a dancing game. Black and White Bushido, PS4 Digital. It's a black and white samurai game. Chroma Squad, PS4 digital pixel art game. Demo, The Last Recital, PS Vita digital. Farpoint, PSVR digital and retail. Future Unfolding, PS4 digital. Hakuyuoki Kyoto Winds, PS Vita digital and retail. Injustice 2, PS4 digital retail. Oceanhorn, Monster of Uncharted Seas, PS Vita digital. Operation Babel New Tokyo Legacy, PS Vita digital and retail. Seasons After Fall, PS4 digital. Shadow Warrior 2, PS4 digital. Skylar and Plux Adventure on Clover Island, PS4 digital. The Surge, PS4 digital. Tango Fiesta, PS4 digital. So the first game I want to jump back to before we get too forward with ourselves is obviously Injustice 2.
Yeah.
Kena's Mustard for Injustice 2.
See, I love the first Injustice. I got the statue down to me. I think I might bring him up here. I like that statue. I might replace one of these and get it up in
I only
in
got to play it because when we were new best friends, you got a PS4 and had a PS4 copy, and you had a spare PS3 copy, and you gave it to me.
Yep.
And that was very nice of you. So thank you. I still have it.
I'm curious to see what the story is for this. That's where my interest in this is at the most.
You haven't kept up with the comics?
No, I haven't. Not at all. I read year one.
I got to the end of year three. I think they're in year five now.
Yeah. That'd be about right. Because it just came out when I lived. It would be about 5 years since it came out.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Because I lived with my dad back then.
Yeah.
Wow, that game came out so long ago.
So the description for Injustice 2 is power up and build the ultimate version of your favorite DC legends in Injustice 2. With every match, you'll earn gear to equip, customize, and evolve your roster.
That gear system, it seems interesting. Like, you'll be able to create the character that best suits you.
Yeah.
And that's what's awesome, because like, when the original one is like, you once you find that player that you know how to, like that that character you know how to control best, like nothing changes. Like, you'll just... Mm-hmm. Like, an example for me was Green Arrow, right? There was the one thing, anyone gets too close, you spin that bow, fucks them up, and they can never get near you. Like, and that was my thing. I knew how to do that, and that would be one of my key moves outside of trickshot arrows and shit.
Yeah.
So, like, knowing that I can adapt him and make him different stats if I want his attack to be stronger, want him to be a little bit slower, but to punch a little bit harder. You know what I mean? Like, things like that. I think in terms of a potential competitive scene, I think that is awesome.
It's awesome, but there'll also always be the best build. There always is with these games.
Yeah.
If you want to play competitive Green Arrow, this is the gear you need. These are the stats you need on it, because that's just scientifically and mathematically the best.
Yeah, but even then, depending on obviously what the creative freedom is like for me, it's like, well, if I want to play a faster character, doesn't have to be hit as hard, but if he's faster, he can hit more often.
Yeah. This game doesn't interest me at all competitively or online.
Oh, not me at all. Like, I suck at this game.
But what really kind of pulled me in a few weeks ago, they released the Joker's finishing move.
Mm.
Like Italian hand. Oh, man. Because it's a throwback to crowbarring. Yeah. Name?
What? Death of the Family.
Who'd he kill?
Jason Todd.
Yeah. Because he kicks him back into the chair. And then he's got a crowbar and he just punks him on the head a few times before he does all the rest of his shit. But it's like, it's a cool throwback to that moment. Because he pulls the lights go down too and the spotlight's on the chair while the other one's in it. It's so cool. And the flash one where he like brings Grodd like through time and smashes him into a pyramid and then into a T-Rex. Then comes back through a portal on the other side of the screen where the Flash and Grodd start the move.
So it all comes back on
itself. So it comes full circle. You know what I mean?
He
comes back a few seconds before in time that he himself 10 seconds ago started that move.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
The super moves in because they're not fatalities or the equivalent of fatalities. They're always pretty fucking great.
They don't always finish a match.
They're always great. No, but like cool. It's like a big dent out of someone's health. Mm. For me, the big one is Farpoint. Yes. On top of that as well, right?
Yep.
Farpoint interests me in a big bad way. Can you read that description to me, please?
I can. Farpoint is a riveting VR space adventure set on a hostile alien planet. On a mission to pick up scientists studying an anomaly near Jupiter, a sudden rupture nearby sends you and their station crashing onto an unknown alien world. Separated from your colleagues, you must use holographic logs scattered throughout the landscape to reunite with the scientists and escape the planet.
I'm curious because this is the first game to implement the AIM controller, which is like essentially PVC pipe with a light globe at the end.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how that works because the whole idea of this, it's got joysticks in it, right? So you have that free-form PS, freeform dual stick movement.
You got it?
Yeah, I got there in the end. So, like, previously you get that motion, so you're standing there and you get the motion, it's because your body's not moving, right? You're sitting there holding a controller. But with this, from what I'm seeing, it gets you up. And you, because you're holding the gun, you're going to be in it more. You can duck behind boxes, you can shoot over boxes, you can free fire, you know, like, by having that, I think it'll make the joystick movement not as vomit inducing.
It sounds tiring.
I think, totally tiring. But I think, like, that may be the trick to potentially covering motion sickness.
Yeah. Because
your body's moving, and like, granted,
But it's also, isn't it the first full length proper VR game?
6 hours long, last I heard.
Full length. For a VR title, that's pretty long.
Should mention as well that we did get invited to the Sydney event for Farpoint. So thank you very much for PlayStation for asking us to come. But sadly, it was in Sydney. We got told like 21 hours before the event. We're like, there is no way that we can fly from Melbourne to there.
Hey, it normally costs us $100 to get there. To go now, it would cost $700.
Yeah, that's like as much happening. As I'd love to go there and play for a couple of hours and get our hands on with it, that turnaround time, not so much.
No. The last game I want to give a quick shout out to is Oceanhorn: Monster of Uncharted Seas.
Isn't this the Zelda rip?
The PlayStation Zelda rip. Explore the islands of Uncharted Seas, a world filled with many dangers, puzzles, and secrets. Fight monsters, learn to use magic, and discover ancient treasures, which will help you on your quest. So if you have not picked up a Nintendo Switch yet, but you want to get a little Zelda tickle in your gooch, this is a game for you.
Just the gooch?
Just the gooch. This game won't go full ham like Zelda will, but it'll give you a little tip.
Do a quick spin for me when we go down, because that game did certainly interest me. Like I want to see what else. I can remember if there was anything I missed. That game certainly does tickle my interest because I've heard nothing but good things about Oceanhorn. I think we're pretty much there.
Yeah,
that's all the big things that sort of jumped out.
Demo has interesting artwork.
Yeah,
Demo: The Last Recital is a rhythm music
game. There you go.
In which the player must hit notes to the melody of the music. Enjoy the rich storytelling as one. That's not a selling point. Enjoy the rich storytelling as well as tons of DLC content. Having DLC content in the sales spiel for the game, unless it's Demo: The Last Recital is like the Game of the Year edition or whatever. I think it's a new game. I don't know. That's it for the drop.
That's it. That's all the things. So what games are you picking up this week? Let us know.
Me, Injustice 2.
Yeah, Injustice 2. I think, what day does it come out? Wednesday,
for us in Australia.
Should we stream some? Because you're going to pick it up for your little lady in your life?
My daughter, yes.
Yeah?
Yep.
Because you got to buy it anyway. Do you want to bring it on around Wednesday and we'll do a stream?
Yeah, sure.
Fuck yeah.
That's fun.
And then maybe at some point we might switch it over and play a bit of Farpoint. Because I'm thinking I'm probably going to pick up Farpoint.
If we can figure out how to stream that.
Yeah.
Without destroying this room.
For me, it's put my money where my mouth is. I'm like, I want there to be more big VR games. Here's one. Yeah, I'm not going to buy it.
That's what happened with the Vita as well. Like, that was the thing. Anytime, like, Severed, it was fucking buy it. Even if it doesn't interest you, please buy it.
Yeah,
because it just shows that people still want games on the machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly why. This is where we wrap things up. We're really bad at wrapping up shows, is what I've come to learn.
Only because we actively acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can find us on all the social medias. You can find us.
Do you want
on
me to do the same spiel as I did at the start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. You can find us on YouTube as you are right now. Make sure you ring that bell. SoundCloud, iTunes, Facebook, and all other social media properties. But be sure to check out our Facebook group, us to join, facebook.com/groups/popculturists. Join the conversation over there with us.
And of course, if you do like what you've seen here on For The Players with our YouTube channel, we do have new videos coming up every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We stream at sporadic days throughout the week. We are looking at locking down a streaming schedule.
Correct.
Probably looking at more of a Tuesday, Thursday sort of setup to sort of make up the other days. Mm-hmm. We're working on that one, so it's all pretty good.
We're doing 2 a week at the moment anyway.
What's that?
We're doing two a week at the moment.
Pretty much. I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this... What's For The Players?